This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is April 12, 2011. I picked up a copy of Bad Science by Ben Goldacre at my local Borders store the other day. I'll talk about it eventually, but in the meantime, please check the show notes for his speech about vitamin pushers and the damage they have done in South Africa. It's a frightening thing to wake up and realize that people who are just annoying quacks here in the Vortex are active and enthusiastic proponents of HIV denial in Africa. When I mentioned last time that Tamara Pierce will be attending Conquest, Kansas City's science fiction convention, I failed to mention that I hadn't actually read any of her books. That sad state of affairs has since been remedied. The Protector of the Small is a four-book series about the second woman ever to become a knight in the Kingdom of Tortellan. The first was Alana the Lioness, but she disguised herself as a boy to do it. People called her a sport, a cheat, a freak, a once-in-a-century gift from the goddess, and they tolerated her. Barely. Caladri, on the other hand, enters knight training school as a girl. She has no particular magical gifts. She is not the fated instrument of the gods. She's just a girl. While she's not girly enough to satisfy the people who complain about the lack of real, true femininity in books, she does wield a naginata, ride a horse named Peach Blossom, and wear dresses. These are books for children. Tamara Pierce does an excellent job at maturing both the protagonist's point of view and the kinds of challenges she faces from one book to the next. In the first book, called First Test, Caladri is 10 years old. Her task is to prove that she can keep up with the boys and earn the right to be trained as a page. By the time she reaches the last book, she's leading raids into enemy territory and doing battle with mercenaries and evil wizards. She has also earned the title given to the series, the Protector of the Small. Tamara Pierce can be trusted not to use darkness and grit for their own sake. People die in these books. Animals die. She glosses over the realities of war to the extent that she does not describe battlefield mutilations or what it really feels like to spend a day in full plate armor, because that's not what the books are about. One thing she does not gloss over, which has annoyed me in other authors' books, is the presence of servants and the existence of an underclass. Caladri's servants have names. Commoners have names. And Caladri would die to save any of them, from the meanest of her convict soldiers to the refugee girls whom she teaches how to defend themselves with spears. Kel is a hero that anyone could look up to. I am so glad I picked up these books. In science news, astronomers have discovered an exciting new kind of gamma ray burst. Gamma ray bursts usually last only a few seconds. Astronomers are still not completely sure what causes gamma ray bursts, but current theories suggest that they are the result of really big stars exploding in really big ways. The nearest star that might one day emit a gamma ray burst is everyone's favorite Wolf-Rayet star, Eta Carina. For more on gamma ray bursts, I highly recommend AstronomyCast episode 36. While most gamma ray bursts last only a few seconds and must be observed with the Swift telescope, an orbital telescope capable of detecting and rapidly pinpointing the location of a gamma ray burst before it fades, there have been some notable exceptions. Imagine astronomers' surprise when a gamma ray burst began in the constellation of Draco the Dragon and then lasted for a week. Scientists think that we may be watching a black hole in the process of eating a star, because only so much matter can fall into a black hole at once. The rest piles up in orbit. An entire star's worth of matter jammed together and rotating at high speeds in orbit around, but not, and this is the key, not inside the event horizon of a black hole, can generate tremendous amounts of energy. That energy would be funneled to the black hole's magnetic poles and then beamed out into the universe in the form of gamma radiation. If one of those beams happened to be pointing at us, then we might see exactly what astronomers have detected coming from Draco, a flickering gamma ray glow. All of this relies on phenomena we've never seen in action, and physics we don't completely understand. It's also happening in a galaxy far, far away, 3.8 billion light years away, that is. It's the sort of exciting new data that makes scientists happy, the kind that might well tell us that our current theories are totally wrong. The upcoming meeting of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Society will feature Ben Cartwright from About SF. About SF is an educational website documenting the history and legacy of science fiction, or, as their tagline says, saving the world through science fiction. I encourage you all to attend, especially since this is your last chance to get the cheap memberships to Conquest, Kansas City's science fiction convention. Also, we'll have cupcakes. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Sharealike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex@gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.